You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello, this is a Vox Markets presentation, and I'm David Buick. And our very special guest today is Jason Paltrowitz, and he is Executive Vice President of OTC Markets Group. Now, we're here today to ask Jason exactly where we feel that his operation could be of greater benefit to European companies, whether it be in London, Frankfurt, Madrid, Amsterdam. How can we work together in a better way? Jason, greetings.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you.
I've thrown the pebble in the water.
Yeah.
Give us an opening gambit of where you actually see things and what you're looking for.
Sure, and I appreciate the opportunity to come. So for those of your audience that don't know, right, OTC Markets is the largest stock market in the U.S. for non-U.S. equities. We are first and foremost a secondary market. So we're not taking listings, we're not doing IPOs. No. We are taking companies that are already listed in their home market, and we're helping them access U.S. investors through a stock quote in U.S. dollars that trades in the U.S. market that we operate. And so we're in a very unique position because we give companies the ability to use their home market disclosure so they don't have to be SEC reporting and Sarbanes-Oxley and all the cost and complexity of a U.S. listing. They can use their U.K. listing disclosure and they can give that to us to access U.S. investors. So what does that mean? That means that for very little additional work, UK companies or Amsterdam companies or German companies, right, can get all the breadth, the access to the breadth and depth of US investors without having to spend in being duplicative in SEC reporting, without having to be Sarbanes-Oxley compliant, without having to do additional work around reconciling to US GAAP. But by accessing those US investors and bringing that liquidity back into the home market, you're seeing a much more robust local market. You're seeing added liquidity, you're seeing the valuation gap decrease as US investors are coming in, and you're doing it all while remaining a national champion. We have this tagline in the organization called List Local, Trade Global. We are firm believers that UK companies should list in their home market, they should be national champions, and they should prop up the UK capital market in such a way that we're not having this debate about where the IPOs. Instead, they're IPOing here, they're being national champions, they're listing here, but they're using the markets that we provide to help supplement that with interested US investors.
Just starting off with the IPO markets, if we may, the large and mega-sized companies end up in New York or they end up in China. I mean, that's the way it is, that's the way it should be. But what I feel, whether it's the London Stock Exchange or other companies, we know that companies like Aquis Exchange are champing at the bit to see more help from the government, to see more help for investors, to give them a greater understanding of what's going on. But we are actually, I don't think, terribly good in Europe at marketing what we've got. Would you think that's right?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the focus has been on the big mega cap unicorns and what can we do to keep those companies here. It's a numbers game, though, and I think if you look at the SME space, not just in the UK, but across Europe, there are so many exciting and interesting companies that are in their early stages of growth and development, and they need a capital market that understands how to support that ecosystem, you know, that's right and fit for purpose. You know, having very expensive, very paper-driven, you know, listing regimes that don't help support local or small cap companies is really detrimental. And I think the regulators should be looking at what you can do to make being public not as painful as it is to support that ecosystem. You mentioned Aquis is a great example. You know, being able to provide a disclosure-based regime to allow companies to use the public market almost in a public venture capital type way,
yeah,
to be national champions here and to grow through the capital market ecosystem to eventually uplist to the main board is really where we feel the regulators should be focused.
The access, of course, to retail, retail market, I think, is fundamental myself, mm-hmm, you know, to get the liquidity and able to do that. I mean, one of the things that I have huge admiration for over the years is the American culture as regards financial markets. Everybody watches Bloomberg, everybody watches CNBC, everybody's, whether it's the guy who delivers the post, the guy who's pushing the trolley along the hospital, the guy from Ukraine as a cab driver, they're all at it. And I think that's fabulous. Where do we get your expertise where you can bring these guys and these, you know, through OTC markets to Europe to sell your goods and chattels, to try and wake up? Because we've had some terrible figures in the last couple of days, which I'm sure you've read, that the number of people interested in investing their money as individuals has dropped quite substantially during the course of the last couple of months. That's basically, we've had a change of administration, a change of culture, and sentiment has gone downhill very dramatically. Nonetheless, there's still a huge number of really exciting young companies here. How do you actually put that into, you know, into work?
Well, I think you're right about the U.S. investment ecosystem. And the fact is, you know, the breadth and depth of the U.S. investor, yep, whether it's the self-directed high net worth individual to the third or fourth tier institution to the family office, there are so many pockets in the United States of investor that's looking for investment. And there's tremendous opportunity in the UK, which has been undervalued, yep, for some time now. And I think what our markets provide is the ability to create that connection between U.S. investors that are trying, that are desperately looking for opportunity, but to be able to buy those securities in a dollar-denominated security in a U.S. market during U.S. trading hours. And so what happens is U.S. investors, when U.K. companies are trading on our QX or QB markets, U.S. investors can now go to their Schwab account and find those opportunities, yeah, and buy 100 shares of a U.K. security in a way they couldn't before. And that what's interesting is that those shares get actually transacted in the U.K. So liquidity is being driven back into the U.K. and is supporting that U.K. capital market. And I think by adding that U.S. investor to the U.K. capital markets and seeing that increase in liquidity on whether it's AIM or Aquis, you'll probably start seeing more interest from U.K. investors that have looked at those markets historically.
Well, you would
and
do
said,
because, yeah, because you've got, as I understand it, something like a 30% discount to the value of the same company here in the United Kingdom than, yeah, they have in the United States.
Exactly.
And that discrepancy should be capitalized upon.
I agree. And I think that what we offer is by accessing those U.S. investors, yep, you're bridging that gap, you're shrinking that valuation gap. The U.S. then becomes helpful in telling the story of the opportunity of U.K. equities.
Jason, how receptive or how cooperative are the regulatory authorities here in London, Amsterdam? I mean, there's a very strong feeling, and this is not going to be a political hot potato for you, but Brexit has, how can I put it, muddied waters, no question of any doubt about it. London is a fantastic financial centre. Unfortunately, it's lost its way a little bit in terms of trading and stocks and shares, but in all other areas like foreign exchange, derivatives, it rules okay. No disrespect, but Madrid, Amsterdam, Paris, and Frankfurt are Mickey Mouse. But
I will not comment on that.
I don't expect you to. That's my indulgence, if you'll forgive me.
Okay.
But the situation is they have all of them got fabulous little companies, which could become medium-sized companies, which could get taken over by big companies in the United States or in the Far East, the rest of it. Is that part of your role?
Yes. So I spend an inordinate amount of my time on a plane and I spend a lot of my time talking to the exchanges around the world. Every exchange around the world has the same challenge, and that challenge is the U.S. exchanges. Because everybody just looks at the two major U.S. exchanges
yep.
and says, that's where we need to be. The valuations are greater, the liquidity is better. And so all of these international exchanges are trying very hard to protect their own capital market mm-hmm. ecosystem. And this is where our tagline, List Local, Trade Global, comes in, right? We are out there telling companies that why would you pay to be an SEC reporting, Sarbanes-Oxley compliant issuer when you can be listed in your home market? You understand your home market disclosure. It's probably less expensive, it's less onerous, it's less rigorous than being in the New York Stock Exchange
yep.
or NASDAQ. And you can fly the flag and be a national champion. But you can join as a secondary market or OTC QX or QB markets. And by having those two things, it doesn't have to be New York or London, New York or Frankfurt. It can be New York and London, New York and Frankfurt. And you're tapping into U.S. liquidity mm-hmm. that's transporting that trading back into the local market and supporting that home market growth. And so we become a, if you will, a defensive play for exchanges around the world who are going to their issuers and whose issuers are going to them and saying, we're thinking of delisting because New York seems to be a better place. And the exchange can look at them and say, well, wait a minute, before you do something as rash as that, because that's going to cost you a lot of money and time and there's added risk and compliance, have you thought about having a secondary offering through QX or QB where you can get the same breadth and depth of access to U.S. investor, but stay here and be a national champion? And so if you look at our biggest clients, Roche, Adidas, Heineken, Kingfisher, Marks & Spencer, Imperial Brand, Sainsbury, these are all global brands that understand that there is really no need, there's no shareholder value in becoming an SEC reporting, Sarbanes-Oxley compliant issuer.
Sure.
But there is importance in being able to have my shares traded by U.S. investors. There is importance by being able to have liquidity from the U.S. support my home market liquidity. And that helps not just me as a company, it helps my UK or wherever stock market listing, but it also helps my investors and it helps me tell my story. And we continue to tell that and we continue to grow. And I think there's plenty more to do.
Let me ask you a naive question, because I imagine most people watching this conversation that we're having here are professional. I believe there's an untapped market of what I call the retail investor. So it's a question of joining up all the dots, as far as I'm concerned, for an operation like you. And I'm probably teaching my grandmother to suck eggs because you're probably four moves ahead of me. Do you have much presence in any of these international centers in Europe? Well, by that I mean physically. I don't mean, or is most of your stuff done through agents and, you know, what you do actually at home?
So we are a U.S. regulated
yep.
stock market, right? So we're SEC FINRA regulated. We have offices here in London and offices in Singapore. And those offices are primarily around speaking to
yep.
issuers and the markets
yep.
in those regions. And that's really, we focus on those two things, right? Our listings business or supporting those non-U.S. issuers. And then, of course, our trading business. And so we've recently launched our overnight trading facilities. And so we've launched something called OTC Overnight, as well as Moon, which is the ability to trade the breadth and depth of U.S. investment in an overnight trading
yep.
facility
yep.
for primarily into Asia. And so what we've seen is significant interest out of the Asian high net worth retail market to be able to buy U.S. securities, whether that's OTC or NMS securities, in their time zone during their trading
yeah.
day.
So I imagine, you know, with the rise of alternative trading platforms, you've been on top of your game
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't altered your A strategy or A your ability to expand your market share. Is that right?
No, not at all.
Great.
You know, our market has grown in the last 20 to 30 years and we continue to add market makers and connectivity. We're adding issuers. We believe in making trading as efficiently as possible for our participants. So we have 150 market makers connecting into our interdealer quotation
wow.
system.
Yeah.
So Virtu and Jane Street and Citadel and Canaccord all trading the breadth and depth of the securities that we have. And we continue to grow our issuer client base. In fact, last week we listed the largest bank in Greece. And so we continue to grow the breadth and depth of the countries in which we operate and the types of securities. So whether that's helping AIM and Aquis listed issuers here, or some
maybe
of the largest.
Maybe also with Six now as well.
You know? And Six, yeah. We have Six. Yeah. You know, we have Roche.
Fantastic.
Is our largest client, and Zurich Financial Services. So we continue to grow the breadth and depth of the issuer community as well. And I think we play a unique role in, you know, how do you get issuers access to U.S. investors in the most efficient way possible, and how do you support local capital markets so that they can continue to grow and have a robust offering for their local market.
Just one other thing I wanted to ask you, Jason, if I may. I mean, this all sounds great, and I'm sure it is, but cost-wise, is it effective?
Well, that's the beauty of it all, right? It's not that expensive. Because you're leveraging your home market disclosure, and because you do not have to be SEC reporting Sarbanes-Oxley, you don't have to reconcile to U.S. GAAP. If you're a semi-annual reporter now, you can be a semi, you can maintain. All you're really doing is paying the subscription fee to have your shares trade on our market. And so for our top tier market, OTCQX, that's $26,600 a year. And for our venture market, QB, it's $16,100 a year. And so again, there's no added, you're not hiring lawyers or accountants or expensive experts to do anything. No. You've already hired those people because you're listed here.
So basically, the issuer should lap it up.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, all I can say is that you've got 25 or 30 years of experience with massive success. And I hope this message that we've been trying to get across today, which I think is absolutely fundamental. I mean, I'm excited for you and I don't even work for you. And I think it's fantastic.
We're hiring if you
need. Not at my age, you're not. No, but on a serious note, Jason, I wish you every success. And I just hope the marketing of this chat that we've had, people will realize that the opportunities are there. And I wish you Godspeed.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the time.
You're welcome.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.